Welcome to the Bring Your Book to Life Micro Audio Summit, curated especially for soul-led coaches, healers, and online entrepreneurs to write and promote your book in the most powerful way. In this summer, you'll hear from our speakers sharing their wisdom, each one around a different aspect of the book writing journey. Each interview is content rich and packed with tips which you can implement right away so you can bring your book into the world. I'm your host and creator of Bring Your Book to Life, Nicola Humber, founder of The Unbound Press, a publishing company dedicated to amplifying the voices of female authors writing transformational books. I am so excited to bring you these interviews. Let's dive in. So you want to write a book and you feel like you've got the writing piece nailed. You know what you want to write about. You are getting into your process. It's coming together. But what about design? You know, how do you come up with the cover design? What about the interior of the book? Like, how do you even begin to start working with that? Well, our next speaker is here to help. Leah Kent is one of our designers at the Unbound Press. She's an author herself. She's a book coach, as well as being a designer, who helps visionary creatives and holistic entrepreneurs write and self-publish books that clarify their message, establish their thought leadership, and expand their impact and visibility. Leah is just a genius when it comes to design. She works really intuitively. She has supported me and our authors so much in bringing their books, like literally bringing their books into being. And in this conversation, like, I learned a lot, actually. Like, we get to dive into, you know, that whole idea that, yeah, people do judge a book by its cover and why that's not necessarily a bad thing, how you can align your book to your brand, even if you're not sure what your brand is yet, and how putting the reader experience first when you're finalizing your manuscript is so, so important. I know you're going to get so much out of this conversation. So let's dive in and I'll introduce you to Leah now. So, Leah, welcome to Bring Your Book to Life.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, me too. I'm really happy for you to be here. I mean, you literally bring people's books to life, actually. I was just thinking that. That's what you do.
I've been called a midwife and a doula because I do, with Unbound Press, you know, book design, which is giving your book this physical presence, right? So, and that is magic, pure alchemy, pure magic, to just have these words hanging around, but then you actually like bring them into form. And I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love seeing the end results. And I'm really interested to have this conversation, actually, because normally, like, you know, I've worked with you as a book designer myself and Linda, who's our other designer. I've worked with both of you. So I've had that experience as an author, but it is all quite mysterious to me how you do what you do, to be honest. It does literally feel like magic.
Oh,
I want to go back, you know, to basics, really, as we begin, and just ask the question, like, why is design so important for authors?
Yes. So I would invite you. So I'm a writer too, right? So I have done this for myself. And I've done this for other people. And that's an important context because for me as a designer, I truly understand how this feels to have this idea, to have this finished manuscript, and that you need to deliver this work into the hands of the reader. So I feel like the reason design is so important is that it's the pivot point. It's the place where you and the reader meet. So it is like, you know, in this magical way, I truly see it as a portal or a threshold. It's where you come together. And that's what makes it so, like, I'm getting chills because it's so potent and powerful. So when I do this work, I am really considering how is the reader going to receive my work in a tangible, physical way. So my design decisions influence the experience, right? So if you've thought about, you know, what like a user experience is, book design is a form of user experience. So I'm very conscientious and mindful and aware of all of the design decisions that go into the finished book that your reader is going to pick up on. Most of the time, they're not aware of it. In design, we say, like, if you've done a good job, they are not aware of it. But if you haven't done a great job, they're very aware of it.
Yeah.
Like, if it's done right, it just feels smooth. If it's done wrong, they're like, why is the book weird? They might not know why, right? Because they're not a book designer. They'll just know something's a bit off. So my goal as a designer is to just deliver this experience that feels just very smooth and effortless for the reader. And when that happens, then you as the author, you just kind of can shine and be confident about your book.
Yeah, I love that idea of the design being the meeting point between the author and the reader. I've never thought about it quite in that way. I love that. I mean, you talked about design decisions there. And I think, like, as authors, we can get really focused on the cover design, which is obviously important. I definitely want to talk about that. But I mean, what are the kind of design decisions that we need to be thinking about as authors?
Yeah. So what usually happens, like, I start thinking about the design decisions from the time that you're, you know, finalizing your manuscript, you're in the editing mode. Sometimes you can think about it earlier. I think about it earlier just because that's how my brain works, but not everybody's brain works that way, and it's okay. But at some point there has to be this experience of consistency in how you're structuring things. And the sort of the softer, maybe more feminine way that I think about it is rhythm. But there starts to be a sense of rhythm in your manuscript that will flow into the design. And so one example would be, you know, if one chapter is 70 pages long and then the next chapter is 10 pages long, that can feel funny to the reader. So I think about it in terms of rhythm. So I think that if you start to have an awareness as you're writing your book about that rhythm. And if you start imagining yourself like, okay, are these feeling kind of consistent? Does there start to be this sense of like, this exercise comes at the end of the chapter and this exercise happens at the beginning of the chapter? There starts to be this form that emerges. Mm. And that always translates beautifully into the design.
Yeah. So actually, really, it is helpful to have some kind of sense of that as early on as possible, really, you know, particularly if we're thinking about like the structure of chapters and how long they might be. I mean, like, if we can, to have a sense of that consistency. Yeah,
I do. Definitely in the world of fiction writing, there's this whole concept of like, do you outline your book or do you go by the seat of your pants? If you've heard of like pantsers and plotters.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard that term, but it's hilarious.
I love it.
You're either plotting it out, you know exactly what you're doing, or you're just like, I don't know what's going to happen. We're just going to, you know, toss the glitter in the wind and see what happens.
Yeah.
So I think there's space for both of those approaches, right? And everybody is different. I really honor, like, we each have our unique creative process and our approach. At some point, though, as early as you can get there, feeling into that rhythm will be really helpful. And I think it's helpful for the editing phase, and then it's basically invaluable at design.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely a fly by the seats of my pants girl. You know, the unbound approach is pretty much. but still, I kind of feel like, you know, we tend to have a natural rhythm. So I guess it's being aware of that, and it will start to come through in our writing.
So that's what I think. It's a lot of this is sort of like your perspective or how you see it or how you relate to yourself. But I just believe in this approach that, like, if we look at life, okay, so this is, I'm going to get really big visionary on you because I just can't help myself. So like, this is where I always say, like, you know, you have an inherent sense of structure. You just might not have it right at the forefront of your mind. That just might not be how you see the world. And that's fine. So I either say, like, you might be somebody who wants to know what the structure is and then you fill it in, or you might be somebody who's filling it in and then you're like, oh, there's the structure. Now I can see it. So it's always there. It has to be on some level. Mm-hmm. And I think we just might come at it a different direction, or it emerges at a different time in our process.
Yeah. Oh, we could get like really visionary, but like the book is already there. Like as soon as we fill the call, the book is there, like in its finished form. So, you know, it's kind of connecting with that in whatever way each one of us feels good around connecting with it anyway.
You just, this is just how it is with me and my visionary brain.
I know. I totally get it. And that is why you're so perfect for the Unbound Press. But anyway, let's talk about covers then. Because everybody, you know, there's this phrase, never judge a book by its cover. But we do. Of course we do.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's my, I think I'm now saying it like, yeah, we do judge books by its cover, and that's good.
Yeah.
Like, let's embrace it. Rather than, I think that there was this idea, like, that somehow a book is a person. Like, do we judge people by their covers? And we're trying to get away from that. We want to definitely get away from that when it comes to, like, human being interactions. But when it comes to a book, it's not really the same thing. It's not the same dynamic. And I think if you mix that up, it can kind of get you a bit off track. So when I think about judging a book by its cover, this is where there's like an imprint or an energetic essence that we can capture through visual design. Mm. So this is the part that really lights me up. And this is the part where book design does feel totally intuitive and totally magical. I have come to a place in my work where I kind of know what questions to ask. Mm. And I do have a strong background in intuitive development. And so I can kind of just like feel into the cover most of the time.
Yeah.
So if there's any kind of energetic alignment between the author and the designer, and I think that does have to be there. There has to be some sense of overlap that you're in the same field of awareness.
Mm.
Right. So this is where somebody who designs a thriller cover might have a hard time with like a feminine self-help nonfiction book. That might be a hard bridge for them to cross. But if you're in the same territory, then you know what that genre looks like. And then you can then determine a cover that fits in yet is unique. And that's the funny paradox of book cover design, right? It's the same thing I just said about you want it to be interesting, but not weird. Right. Like, and I don't mean that like we have different associations with weird, but you want it to be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense that this fits into this category. Again, we have reasons for like turning over the apple cart, and sometimes that does work. But for most of us, we want to feel like we belong in that section of the shelf.
Mm.
So we find our unique imprint, but within the part of the bookshelf. And that tells the reader, so again, going back to reader experience, it tells the reader, oh yes, this book is for me, which is ultimately what I want a cover to do, is have the reader be like, yep, this is for me.
Yeah. So for somebody, like some authors that I and we work with, they have a really clear design, a really clear idea of what they want the cover to look like. Others, and this is generally like me, I'm like, I don't know. And you just intuitively like get into my brain and just conjure something up. Because I'm just not, I mean, I guess I am design minded because I see something and I know what I like when it comes to design. I guess that's what people say about art as well. But I find it hard to translate that into words and, you know, kind of, you know, guidance when I'm working with a designer. So if somebody isn't design minded and finds it challenging to even imagine what the cover might look like, how do you work with that? What would you advise?
Oh, yeah. So the very easiest thing to do, and you can start this anytime in your process, is start building a list of covers that you love, covers that you resonate with, other books in the field. And this is how traditional publishers do this, because I have done design for traditional imprints. And all of those projects start with comparable covers.
Mm.
So you always want to start with this visual representation, because it is hard to express this sometimes with just, I don't know, I want it to be purple and sparkly. And you're like, well, I mean, I can do something with purple and sparkly, but if you can show me some examples of visuals that light you up, that feel good and magnetic for you. So I think you start to build this awareness, like when somebody says, hey, could you go find 3 to 5 book covers that you absolutely love? And you think, ooh, if my cover was sort of in that realm, that might be really cool. Mm-hmm. Your designer's not going to just replicate that cover. They're going to use that as a springboard to generate a look and a feel that just belongs in that sphere. So you might think of it like, where does my book belong? Might be a reflective question that could be helpful. And then just to start, just planted this seed for yourself of like, what am I drawn to? What do I just love? And start building a list of those titles. And I would either just like save all the links for those books, or you can do like a screenshot of the cover and make yourself almost like a little vision board. And that is meant to be a fun project, not a distracting project. Right? It's easy to get distracted. Oh, I'm not going to write my book. I'm going to go look for comparable covers. Yeah. So that's not that's not the suggestion. The suggestion is just to start noticing, start to just consciously develop some awareness of what you feel drawn to and start building that out when you're still writing.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend like starting that process as early as possible, because I know sometimes I've got to the point where it's like, okay, I need to think about a cover design, and then going onto Amazon, just randomly trying to find books. I'm thinking of authors that I like and like, oh yeah, let me just try and remember this book that I think I like the cover, and like trying to find them under pressure just doesn't work so well. And I guess that works with the interior of the book, because everyone thinks about the cover, but not necessarily the interior. But actually, I find it's when you see like the interior layout of the book that really brings it to life. So I guess noticing in books that you're reading what you like and what you don't like is really powerful for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think in all of these things, just, I will say, embrace the spirit of gentle curiosity, of noticing what feels easy to read or what feels delightful to read. And I think if you can come at it from that, you know, I come at it pretty hard with analytics. Like, I obviously am like dissecting books, and I look at other books for just like seeing the way that different titles are done or different genres are set up. So I have like a pretty hawk-eyed look at these interiors. Most authors don't need to do that, unless that sounds interesting to you. Otherwise, just kind of starting to generally, you know, I usually tell people, look at the shelf of the books that you've kept around, right? And then go and look and see which ones are resonant, which ones are not, which ones you're like, I read this even though it's really hard to read because the words are too crammed together, which is my personal, like, that's my pet peeve.
Yeah.
If the text is so smushed that I like really can't read it. Again, just thinking about good design honors the reader.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want them to like not get the transformation that your book is offering because they can't get past the design.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've all had that experience of like getting a book and the design is clunky and it's like, this is just, it feels off. It's really hard work, especially as I'm getting older and my eyesight is getting worse and worse. I need really good lighting. And yeah, lots of space, big fonts. So as we're having this conversation, because I was going to ask the question, like, do you need to work with a professional designer to actually put your book together? And I kind of know what your answer, I know what my answer would be to that. Yes, please, because, you know, otherwise, unless you've got a background in design, my sense is going to be like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So I would say, yeah, if you can, you know, like, look, if you can at all afford to give your book that advantage, I think it makes a huge difference in the longevity of your book, right? Mm-hmm. So I think about books as this like evergreen foundation piece in your business or the legacy of your life's work, like to really honor the fact that like you put a lot of time, wisdom, effort, and energy into bringing this book into the world. And think of it like putting it in the right packaging or the right clothing, like whatever that metaphor is for you, the design gives it a vehicle to go out into the world and stay relevant for as long as possible, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one way of thinking about the value of design.
Yeah.
Another thing to think about the value of design is if your book is readable and then it's more shareable. You know, if it looks beautiful, you're more likely to have your fans buy 10 copies and give it as gifts to all of their friends. So when I just think about your book making its way out into the world, that's where I think design gives you that return on your energetic and financial investment. As you said, if you happen to have a background in design and you're willing to do something very simple, there are some DIY tools out there. My advice to anybody who just truly can't or doesn't want to invest in design is to keep it simple.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're going to DIY it, make it really simple and you can then maybe get away with like a DIY option. But again, this is just, you know, when I think about the investment in your book, I think it's editing and design are the number one places that you're going to see a return on that investment.
Definitely. 100%. And yeah, thank you for saying that. I think the piece about like the longevity of your book is really important. And for yourself as well, like in terms of how it feels to readers, but also, you know, if your book's going to have a lifetime, you'll get to be in relation with your book for a number of years and you want to enjoy looking at it. I'm just thinking of my books, you know, Hill, You and the Good Girl has been out there, I don't know, seven years or so now. And I love the cover of that. And if I didn't, yeah, it would be like, oh, you know, you would.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right,
and
right.
Also, I was thinking in terms of shareability, like on social media, people are much more likely to share something that is attractive. It made me think of Rebecca Campbell's first book, Light is the New Black. I remember when that came out, I didn't know who Rebecca Campbell was, but I saw everybody sharing her book and like the interior of her book. I think she had these kind of like affirmations. And the design was really simple and beautiful. And everyone was sharing them on social media. And that actually made me buy the book in the end, because it's like, who is this woman? You know, so yeah, it is so, so important. So thank you for that. You talk about aligning the book design with your brand, even if you don't know what your brand is.
That's right.
Yeah. So talk about that. Why is that important? And how can we do that?
Yeah. So here's what happens, kind of where I said you might come at it two different directions. Mm. With a lot of my clients, they end up working with me, not knowing what their brand is. And then after we do the book, they're like, oh, that's my brand.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where I say, even if you don't know what your brand is, sometimes the process of doing the book design, you start to get clarity, like, oh, this is my brand color. This is what I like. This makes sense for me. And you can end up building a brand around the book. Or if you already have a really clear visual design and your book is related to your business, then it makes sense that you would have your book really fit into that world, right? So there's a visual world that you're building in your business. And the other piece of that sort of statement is the fact that I do believe that even if you don't think you know what it is, I believe you do somewhere know what the brand visuals really are for you. Mm. And that is one of the things that I enjoy doing. So I personally have a strong awareness of like brand visuals. Like it's weird. Like I started paying attention to this when I was like 12 years old. Like it's just kind of like how I'm built. Really attuned to that. And I really like holding space and helping people come to that.
Well, that's the thing, because you're an amazing space holder, you know, as well, which, you know, not all designers are going to be. So I guess it really is. I mean, what advice would you give to somebody who is either just beginning their book writing journey or getting to the point where thinking, actually, I need some support with the design for this? Like, you know, obviously they can come to you. We definitely recommend that. But I mean, how do you find a good designer?
Oh my gosh. Well, you just, here's my number.
Yes, exactly.
That's right. I mean, as with anything, usually it's just like the portfolio, just like being, can they have, has this person designed books that look similar to the kind of book that I'm writing? Because I do think that familiarity with the genre is really important.
Yeah.
And for me as a designer, I'll just speak from my experience, like I'm pretty clear about the genres that work, that I work well in. And I'm very happy to say, like, you know what, that is really far outside of my wheelhouse. So just honoring those boundaries is important. And I think for you as the writer, you just want to have a conversation with this person and just make sure that the communication is happening, because this is really a relationship that's just built on communication and trust and the ability to go back and forth. And not every designer can sort of match their visual work with managing the process and communicating about it. So I will speak to, like, my special sauce is that I've been right where my clients have been.
Yeah.
I have written a book. I've designed my own books. I've published my books. So I really have been through every step of the process. So I have a tremendous amount of compassion. I also have the brain of a teacher, right? Like when I'm not designing books, I'm developing courses and running my own writing membership. And so I'm working with writers all the time. And so I articulate what's happening and I manage the process with a tremendous amount of clarity. If you're starting to get alarm bells, like your designer can't communicate what's going on, or things feel really fuzzy or unclear or nebulous, I would definitely walk away from that situation, because that is just going to be really hard for this kind of collaboration. So just like any relationship, it's rooted in trust and communication, and the dynamic between a writer and a designer just has to have that foundation of trust and communication.
That's so important, and not necessarily something that people would think about, actually. They would just think, oh, I'm just going to hire someone on Fiverr or whatever, and it'll be fine.
Right.
And no, I mean, it can work. It can absolutely work. And also, like, right, you know, the relationship is really, communication is so, so important. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And there are, so I mean, there are many wonderful designers who can do this, but there are also designers who really can't manage that process. And it's, you know, I think this is where I'm just like, oh, I love the unbound model of like a bigger community, and there's built-in trust and there's built-in infrastructure. I just think that's such a great model. So that's why I in particular love doing unbound projects.
Well, thank you for saying that. We love,
just had to say.
We love that, like, the way you work and hold space for our authors is, you know, so, so magical, right? So, so grateful. And you mentioned there that you know, you create your own courses around writing and hold your own spaces to help people write their books. And I know you've got a couple of amazing resources that you're offering to everyone who's signed up for Bring Your Book to Life. So can you talk a little bit about those and what they are?
Yes, I certainly can. So the first one that I'm so happy to share is just what I call the self-publishing roadmap. And that was really, again, just, I've been there with Google searches, endless Google searches, like looking for how do I do this? And what's the order of things? And my experience was just that it distracted me from the writing, right? Mm-hmm. And so as a service and a gift to other authors, I just put together a roadmap, like, look, these are all of the steps. And my hope is that by just having it all in one place, that you can let your mind sort of let go of those anxieties and worries, and you just know what's coming and you know how it's going to work. And the self-publishing roadmap applies whether you're truly indie DIYing it or you're working with a hybrid publisher. The steps are basically the same. Mm-hmm. And it just gives you peace of mind. Like, I know what to expect. So then you don't have to worry about some of these things at the wrong point in the process. So that's the self-publishing roadmap. And I absolutely love that resource. And I'm like, I don't remember what the second one is. What is the thing that I'm giving away?
It's like the you've already written your book, the content workshop.
So this okay, one
I know. I know what it is.
I knew that you would. I'm like, I just don't remember. But that just, that, you know what? That just speaks to my generosity because
exactly. There's so much you always, could. Yeah.
Just always trying to give things away. Because I just, I will say this before I tell you about you've already read a book. I want to say this into the space that what really motivates me to do this work is to support as many wisdom keepers and visionaries as possible to share their message, their sacred work with the world. I want to be part of this revolution that we're in that is so gorgeous. So that's why we do this.
Yes. Yes.
So this workshop is, you already wrote a book, and this is just like so clear to me. You know, you spoke to this already. The book already exists, and our job as writers is to bring it into being. So I love helping people. This is where I like my little organizing mind. I will help you sift through everything you've already created. And we will pull out those golden threads, and I can help you see sometimes where you can't see it for yourself, where that book already exists in your body of work. Mm. This is this process that I've developed and worked many people through, where we go and we find all of the things and we put them all into one place and we look at them with fresh eyes. What I want to tell you is that for most people that go through this process, they don't find one book, they find like three, right? Like, so you probably haven't written a book. You've probably written three books.
Yeah.
And this is another thing that is so important to me in terms of, for most of us, we're over givers, right? And so we're generating all of this content and we're told to like give everything away for free and just, you know, write endless content and give. Taking that, there's nothing wrong with that, but I also believe that we should pause and really harvest all of those seeds that we've been planting. And the process of taking your existing content and turning it into this brilliant book that really reflects your wisdom is a gift to you. It's a gift to your current clients, a gift to your prospective clients. And it's a way to just really appreciate yourself more fully and more deeply. So in this workshop, I literally walk you through the process and hold space for you to do the work so that you leave after 2 hours with like a plan.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, all of that is available over on our speaker page. So make sure that you head over to access those incredible resources. Thank you so much, Leah. It's always a joy to talk. And that was so many gorgeous golden nuggets in there around design. So thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my goddess, what an inspiring conversation. Like, so much goodness to take away from that. Please make sure that you visit the Bring Your Book to Life speaker page to find out more, and a little bonus piece of homework for you. I would love it if you could hop on over to Instagram and share what your biggest insight takeaway is from that interview, like what you're feeling inspired, what action you're feeling inspired to take after listening. You can find me at Nicola Humber. Please do share a post or a story, tag me in and tag our speaker in using the hashtag Bring Your Book to Life, and let us know what you are taking away from that interview. Join the conversation. Here is to bringing your book to life. I'm really excited to see what comes through in your writing and how your book evolves throughout the rest of this year. Thank you so much for listening.